It's a bit low in. I'm starting again. We're recording again. This interview with Dot Crade was conducted on Wednesday, the 30th of March, 2011, at her home in Austenmarck. The interviewer is Sue Bowden. Okay, Dot, we're starting. May I ask your full name and could you spell it?
Zorrie Craig, known as Dot.
Craig. No, that's fine. And when and where were you born?
In Western Australia, in Subiaco.
And what year was that?
1918.
And what was the date?
The 8th of the 4th, 1918.
And what was your mother's name?
Ada Richardson.
And where, do you know where she was born and
in,
when?
In England in 1894.
Okay, so now we're going to start talking about your coming to Austenmarck. And I might start with, why did you decide to leave Western Australia?
Well, I didn't really intend to leave Western Australia. I came here for a holiday, but circumstances were such that my husband and I stayed. It was intending only to be for 6 weeks, but it came to 65 years.
And you came specifically to Austenmarck for a holiday?
I had a cousin who had a cottage in Oceana Parade. At that time, one couldn't have a weekender that was not fully occupied. Anybody could apply to the court for it. And they were very much afraid they were going to lose the house because they came down every weekend. When we'd only been here about a week, somebody applied to the court, and we'd been staying here down in the cottage because they didn't want to lose it.
And what year was that?
1946.
Right, okay. And you had come from Western Australia to Sydney or to Austenmarck? You'd left Western Australia to come specifically to Austenmarck, to this cottage, because of a housing shortage?
No, we didn't really. We came to Sydney to stay with my cousin.
Oh, okay. And then ended up in Austenmarck. And that was the house in Oceana Parade. And did that house have a name?
Baronelle.
Yes. And you didn't mention your husband's name, so we maybe need to get that into the tape.
Keith Joseph Craig.
Right. And when you were married in, what year were you married?
1942.
Oh, okay. So it was, you'd been in Western Australia for a little while and then you'd come to Australia. He'd been at war.
Yes, he was still in the army when we came over.
So how did you travel to Austenmarck from Sydney?
On the train. That was the only way at that stage. My cousin had no car. So we came on the train, which was very, very crowded because there was a coal strike. And in 1948, my sister came over and it was so crowded that we got in through the window of the train and she said to me, "Do you always do this?"
Gosh.
But that's how it was, to get a seat.
And that was a steam train?
Yes.
And what were the carriages like?
Pretty smoky.
And were they those dirty carriages that had bench seats that you looked at each other, or were they in carriages rows?
They had a corridor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that trip from Sydney was down. Can you remember first seeing the coast?
Yes, coming out of the tunnel. It was absolutely amazing, the tunnel at Stanmore Park. It's just like another world.
Mm. So those first impressions just stay with you.
Yes.
And what about your first impressions? You arrived at Ostonmouth Station and got off the train with luggage, I suppose. Do you remember what you know, what time of day it was and what you did? What did you do then?
I don't remember it very clearly, actually arriving, but it would have certainly been in the daytime. And, of course, Baronell is not very far from the station.
Mm. And so you went over to Baronell, and then there was Ostonmouth too. What do you recall at that time in 1946 of what the Ostonmouth village was like?
Well, very much a village and very much a weekend place. Most of the houses had names rather than numbers.
Oh.
I'm not sure if they had numbers, but almost every house had a name.
And what about the station is at the end of what's generally known as the main street of Moore Street.
Yes.
So what was Moore Street looking like then? Do you remember?
Pretty much like it is now. It's a little different. There's a lot of new houses, but it still has that village atmosphere that's always remained.
Were those the shops that are there now, that are other, they're not always shops now, but what were the shops that you remember and the stores?
There were two butcher shops, there were two grocers, there was a shop that sold vegetables and fruit. The hairdresser hadn't come then. Yes, and right at the end of Moore Street, there was not exactly a shop, but a building, which was a Red Cross library, because it was right at the end of the war.
At the sea end or the station end?
No,
the beach end.
Yes.
Ah, okay. And were there services, a post office? Or?
Yes, a post office, which I eventually worked in.
And when did you start to work in the post office?
Well, not so very long after I came, because the people who were running this, Mr. and Mrs. Cook, they found out that I'd been working in the post office in Western Australia, and so Mrs. Cook said to me, would you work for me if I wanted to go have a day off? And that's how it started, by her just sending the messenger up and saying, will you come to work? I want to go to Sydney.
Ah, so it was a casual job.
Yes.
And where was the post office?
It was in between the grocer's shop, Mr. Hope's, and the shop that sold mostly vegetables and it is now a Indian shop.
Hmm. Oh, yes, the Indian clothes, fabrics. So in that middle hub of shops that are now, there's a cafe. And who were the first people that you met? You met with the cooks, the post office people.
Yes.
But who were the very first people that you...
Well, there were some people living in Oceana Parade across the road from us, and I guess they were probably the first people I got to know. One was a hairdresser. Her name was Merle Reedy, who's long since died, and a few other names of people, friends of hers, that would be the very first people that I met.
Mm. And then... You ended up staying. So was that, did you realise that you were going to stay? Was that a year's or months?
Well,
or?
Because the cottage was awarded to us when Keith told the court that we'd been married for 4.5 years and hadn't lived together, and they awarded it to us rather than the other people, we felt morally bound to stay. And we thought first 6 months, but the 6 months grew into 65 years.
And so that means that that Keith would have been looking for work as well. Is that right? Down yes. here. So yes. what's that story?
Well, it was very easy in that those days. He and a friend who lived at the back of us went to Port Kembla, and they both came home with jobs just like that. Keith was in the pay office, and I don't know what the other boy did, but it was very easy to get a job there.
And who did he work for at Port Kembla?
Concrete construction.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So it was always an industrial, you know, that the southern part was where the jobs were always focused on industry.
And yes.
And so he went off to work every day. How did he get to work?
On the train.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. To Wollongong or to Port Kembla. Did he have to change trains?
Oh, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. And so you were in, but can you describe the Baronelle to the house in Oceana Parade? What was that like when you got there? What was it? You know,
it was a lovely little cottage. We really loved it, and we had a lovely time. We lived there for 5 years, as it turned out, before we bought this house. It was just very simple, with a main room in the middle, one bedroom each side, and a kitchen at the back.
And a veranda?
Yes, a veranda, which in those days there weren't so many trees and we had beautiful views.
And what?
But it was right at the back of the block, so it was a lot of steps.
Ah, a lot of steps up to the house. And what about the bathroom and the kitchen? Was there hot water?
No.
So what did you do?
I think we only had a jug just about. No, there was no hot water at all.
And the bathroom had a bath?
Or? Yeah, a tin bath.
Ah. And how did you heat the water? Did it have a chip heater?
No. I can't remember how we heated it.
And was there a clothesline?
No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't. No, it went steeply up the back.
Mm.
There was no clothesline.
So how did you dry your clothes?
Well, underneath that veranda where the water was, that's where we... It was all pretty primitive.
Yes.
But we loved it.
Yes. And was there a garage?
No.
No, because you didn't have a car.
No.
Did you have bikes?
No.
No, okay. And do you remember what else was in Austenmoor at that time? So the sorts of community facilities, were there churches and a school?
Yes. Yeah, there was a school, which is in a beautiful location and is still the same. It's a beautiful school today. There was an Anglican church and a Uniting church, which was Methodist in those days. And there was a Scout Hall. That's about all there.
Is there a police station?
Yes. And there were tennis courts, two tennis courts.
And where were the tennis courts?
Oh, right in the middle of them, halfway between the beach and
On Moore Street again. Yeah, so the churches were on Moore Street?
Yes, they were.
And was there... So the Scout Hall was a guides hall or it was just scouts?
Well, it was just scouts in those days.
Okay. And the Red Cross shop had was a library. That was the library. There wasn't a lending library, a public library.
I think it was run by volunteers.
And what about dentists, doctors, chemists?
There was a chemist shop, one chemist shop, yes. At that stage, there were no doctors in Austenmoor, not in the early days.
Mm. And so we're still in 1946. And you've said that local employment was easy for Keith, and you were a casual in the post office because of your experience. But what other Where did the other residents work? Although there were a lot of holiday homes, there were people who lived here.
Oh, yes. Well, there were two grocer's shops, and one which was run by Mr. Hope, and he employed one girl. The other one was run by Mr. Edwards. I don't really remember that he had anybody, but perhaps he did, or I can't really remember. And then, of course, there was two butchers, one on each side of the street, which were, I guess they were pretty busy. The one on the southern side employed three people. The other one had two.
And do you remember the name of the butcher?
Well, Joe Hamilton was not the owner, but he worked there.
In the one near the post office,
yes,
in the grocery
shop.
And
as far as I know, he's still alive in a nursing home.
Wow. The other one was across the road. The other butcher shop was on Moore Street, but up the road a bit.
Yes. But I can't remember the name of the people.
That was a little hub that in the collection of shops and businesses around the post office. That was a busy little hub.
Yes.
But the other hub of activity was down on the front, down at the beach. What was it like down there?
Well, there were three shops down there, and they all sold groceries.
Were they there in 1946?
Yes. Later, the chemist shop was relocated to that area, but much later.
Mm. And who would you recall as the key families? Your neighbours were the Reedys that you recall, but were there prominent Austenma families even in 1946? That you recall?
The people next door were McFarlanes. They had come from Sydney because of the war, and they were very friendly people, and we had a lot to do with them. They had a car, and sometimes we went with them to Thoreau. None of the shops really were run by prominent people.
And so if there was any issue, was there anyone, you know, I don't know what the issues might have been, fixing up the train line or a bus? Were there buses?
Yes, there were buses. There were Hills buses. There were about three different companies, but I don't know that they ran as frequently as they do today.
And what about social life? What did you do? Make your own social life?
Yes.
Did you belong to the church, for example?
Yes, I did. We belonged to the Methodist Church, I will say, uniting, right from the first day that we were here. And so that was very, very small at that stage. There wasn't much social activity connected with that, but they used to have dances at Thoreau in the near the station. What's it called?
In the RSL?
No, that wasn't there then. Railway Institute.
Oh, okay.
And we used to go to them on a regular basis.
So how did you get there?
Probably on a bus or walked, I can't remember.
And was there a picture theatre in Thoreau?
Yes, there was, yes.
But there wasn't one in Austenma?
No.
So when you were looking for things to do, you looked south rather than north?
Oh, definitely.
Always Thoreau, Bulleye, Wollongong, not Coaldale and Moomba. Yes. And so there were... you were busy as a young couple with working and the church, but had you started to make friends with... Was it a happy time?
Oh,
you loved Baronelle.
Very happy, yes. Well, getting as far as 1948, I met the Willards, Marge and Roy Willard, and they became my family, really, because I didn't have relations over here, except this one cousin in Sydney. So from then on, I became more involved in the church. I think until you actually do things, you don't feel involved, and I became much more involved from then on.
And the Willards lived nearby. Did they live in Kennedy Road?
Yes, they did. Yeah. Diagonally across the road.
When did you move to? You moved from Oceana Parade. Tell us that story.
Yes, that's right. We were still in Oceana Parade at that stage. Well, in 1961. We're going ahead, aren't we?
Yes, that's all right.
1961, I went to Perth because my mother was very ill, and I stayed about 3 months and because I thought she was going to die. And I really made up my mind I wanted to go back to Perth. I mean, we were always saying, will we go, will we go? But I made up my mind that I did want to go. I got off the plane, and Keith said, I've bought a house, before I could even say I've made up my mind. And I was rather shocked. He told me where it was. And my reply was, that old house up amongst the trees.
And by then, you're confronted with a new house, but you also, you had a little girl.
Yes.
So you were really, that was the beginning of really having a home and a family in Austenra.
Yes.
And the house that he had bought up in the trees, and what street was that?
Kennedy Road.
Okay. So, but we were in 1946, so you were in at Oceana Parade from 1946 until the mid-60s, is that right? Early 60s.
Till 61.
Yes. And so in that time you... Tell me about was the community changing? Were the shops changing? Had they
not
changed?
At that stage? Mm.
So
they really didn't start to change until the supermarkets opened in Thoreau. Up until then, it remained very much the same, and I don't know what year that was.
And so people were generally shopping and. Could you go to, is there a bank in Austenra?
No.
No, so you had to do business things, not in Austenra, but you could get through the week.
Yes.
By getting your provisions in Austenra. Yes. And the buses, the doctors, there were doctors by then, is that right? That by the 60s there were doctors?
Yes.
Or you had to go to Thoreau?
No, you didn't have to go to Thoreau. There were two doctors who... actually came to Austenra. They were based in Thoreau, but they had rooms in a house in Moore Street right down towards the beach end. They just came on certain days.
And by then, I thought that you'd moved to this house on Kennedy Road in the 1950s. So, Baronell stayed much the same whilst you were in it.
Sorry. Yes, definitely.
And you got to know the families around you. Was Oceana Parade changing at that time?
No.
So there's still holiday people around.
Yes.
And stories about Austenra being a place for holidays.
Yes.
Is that your memory?
Yes. Particularly I remember on Sundays people came down by train and we'd be in church and you'd hear a multitude of people walking down the street to go to the beach. That's how it was for a long, long time.
So those people would be coming from Sydney?
Yes.
For the day?
Yes.
And in the summer holidays, in the longer vacations, Ostenmar had quite a lot of accommodation as well.
Oh, yes, it did.
So
it did.
Tell us about those, the accommodation, the guest houses.
There was one that was run by the Lett family. Don't know why I can't think of the name, but I can't.
And where was that?
That was on the headland right above the beach. And it was a very large one and a very popular one. It had a tennis court and it had the first bowling green in Ostenmar.
Is that the headland that's near Bell's Point?
No.
No. The which headland?
The southern.
The pool headland.
The pool headland. Oh. Mm. And that was the first bowling green in Ostenmar.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know why I can't think of the name. But then there was the one on the headlands, which was called...
Is that the one that had the name on the grass at
yes,
the front?
Yes, it is.
I think that was... Is that Astoria or...
Hold a minute, Nella coming.
Anyway, we can keep talking because yeah. There were quite a few guest houses.
Yes, and there was another one in Oceania Parade, which was rather upmarket, which was run by two ladies. And it wasn't run by two ladies at first. It was run by a Mr. Roberts, who owned it and lived across the road from the guest house. And it was really a very nice place to stay.
And can you describe that building? Because
it's still there, much the same. I don't think it's been changed much. I know what's been used for since it was not a guest house. It was a place for...
A rehabilitation place.
Yes, for people who needed rehabilitation from hospital for psychiatric. Yes.
So that quite a distinctive building.
Yes, it is.
Two stories.
Yes.
Mm. And the other guest houses were largely one story.
Yes.
Yes. And there was also the hotel.
Over on the headlands, yes. And that was another place that was very popular. But, of course, it's now in disrepair.
Was that a place that people went in the 40s and 50s to socialise? Oh, women didn't go to hotels then, did
no,
they?
No, not much.
No.
So
that wasn't...
It was called the Headlands Hotel.
It was a place to go and have a drink. And you could stay there.
Yes.
Yes. Now, that reminds me that when we were talking about the work and Keith going off to the concrete constructions and you're working in the post office and people were working in the little businesses, was there a mine in Ostenmar?
Well, there wasn't a working mine, but you could go and have a look at it up in...
So there was an old mine,
that
was no longer...
I think they used to have pit ponies up there.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure, but I think so. Mm. I think there were pit ponies.
And when you think about the Illawarra, you do think about the men going off to the steelworks. Was that something that was the Ostenmar culture, that you know, the shift workers were getting on in the 40s and 50s? Was that
a big deal, or was that coming? I would say so.
Mm. And the other thing that when you think about the Illawarra, there were lots of people around that time beginning to come from Europe as refugees. And did they come to Ostenmar?
Not very many.
Hmm.
A few. Some Latvians came.
Do you remember their name?
Yes. Their name was Sidorenko. And Mrs. Sidorenko remarried when her husband died, and her name now is Mrs. Balladus, and she lives two doors away from me.
Cool. And but that was unusual.
Yes.
Because it wasn't as multicultural as some of the other places in the Illawarra.
No, I don't remember anybody else. She seems to be the only one I recall.
Mm.
But she became very much a prominent person in the area.
Mm. And so we're getting up into the 50s. Let's talk about what was happening in the 50s. Was there the baby boom? There were babies. They talk about the 50s and the 60s as Australia's baby boom. Was that happening in Austinmer as well?
I think so. yes.
So you had a baby. What year was that?
9. Could you believe it? 1950.
And so you were in Baronel then. So then we talk about hospital. There must have been a hospital with a baby. Story?
That's Bulleye.
Mm. So you went to hospital and brought the baby home. And so thinking about a young mother in Austinmer, how was that experience?
Well, it was quite difficult, really, because we didn't have conveyance. And since the house was on the back of the block, up a many, many steps, Keith had to build a little cubby house to put the pram in, one of those big cane ones. So when it was time to go out, I had to go down and make sure there were no spiders and etc. Then go down again and put in the bedding, and 3 times I guess the baby got in and had to reverse that when I came back. But that's how it was. My friends, the Willards, they took me to the clinic and a few other places.
So the Willards had a car?
Yes, they had a car.
And where was the clinic?
Bulleye.
Oh. And did they have things like mothers' groups then? What
no,
did you do? You
no.
have, how do you get by
well,
with
I may
a new
have done,
baby?
But I don't know anything about them. No, not like they have today. We just went to the clinic and that was all.
Mm. And there were, what about the, when you think of a usual day, how did that day go? You went shopping for food in Austinmer, so the groceries were in Austinmer, clothes, what about clothes?
Oh, one needed to go to Wollongong for that, really. Of course, you were born in the 50s too. And your parents had come to live in Austinmer, which was wonderful, and because your mother was my best friend from Western Australia.
So your networks were growing.
Yes.
And families were growing, so that there was beginnings to be a group of friends.
Yes.
Who started to establish some routines in Austinmer. Can you talk about that? Because it wasn't just my family, the Nelsons. There were other families that lived in the street. If you were in Oceania Parade, though, there were quite a few families in that street. But did you see that family?
I can't think of anybody closely. The Bradleys lived 2 doors away from us, Harry Bradley and his wife, who died very early, and her 2 little girls, Michaela and Helen. And they, Michaela still lives in Austinmer, now married, 40-odd years, but Helen does not live locally.
But you did you see the Bradleys socially?
No.
So the church was a hub.
Yes.
By then, in
yes,
the 50s for you.
Yes.
And there were the beach.
Yes.
Was the beach something that you, did you use the beach?
Oh,
were you
yeah.
at the beach?
Yes, definitely. I even, when I was working sometimes, I used to even go down for a swim and lunch hour. I loved it. Not that I was a good swimmer, but I loved going to the beach often 3 times a day. Because my cousin, Glad, they came at the weekend, so we did things with them at the weekend, and it was nothing to walk over to Thoreau or We did a lot of walking, yeah.
And did you climb Sublime Point?
Yes, we did that very early in the piece when we'd only been here a couple of weeks maybe. And Keith and I climbed up, and then we walked down the highway, which you wouldn't do today. We caught a bus at Thoreau.
So you walked down Bulleye Pass.
Yes. We thought we'd climb Mount Everest, and we were telling everybody that cared to listen that we'd climbed up Sublime Point, which was no special thing at all. Everybody did it, but we thought it was something wonderful that we'd done.
And tell me about the beach. What did Ostenra Beach look like at that time? Did it have a kiosk?
Yes, it had a kiosk, which was very popular. You could go there for afternoon tea or lunch, and it was a very busy place, actually, particularly at the weekend. Yes.
So there were rooms, tea rooms.
Yes.
At the kiosk.
Yes.
Oh. And there was quite a distinctive change shed in Ostenra.
I missed
with
that.
A dressing shed.
Oh, yes.
What? Tell, can you recall that dressing shed?
No, I can't.
With the arches and the roof. You could get onto the roof because there was a path.
Well, you still can.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
So that, but the kiosk is new, isn't it? I mean, where the kiosk was
is now the Surf Lifesaving Building.
Because in the 40s that...
They didn't have, the only one they had was at the extreme north of the beach, which was just a very small building, just simply for the surf people.
Mm. And that Ostenra had two pools then?
Yes.
In the 40s? I think they might have been built in the 30s.
Yes, I don't know. They were two pools when we came here.
Yeah. And surf carnivals?
Oh, wonderful surf carnivals. Beautiful to watch the people marching. I love the carnivals. But they don't have them now,
don't they?
Well, as far as I know, we certainly don't have them in Ostenra.
No. And what about those other ceremonies that make up the year, the Anzac Day? Did they do Anzac Day then?
Yes. 6 o'clock in the morning, Anzac. Usually the men marched on the Sunday before. I don't know that they do that now. They do march to the cenotaph.
And the cenotaph is?
Right in the forefront of the beach, near the surf life saving, and the attendance just grows and grows and grows, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people who come now, and it's wonderful to see the young children that people bring. I really admire them. I think that they get out those children out of bed, and there's many, many children.
Mm, it's wonderful. Because it was not such a big deal.
No.
Until quite recently.
No, and it used to be in the afternoon, I think. I don't think we had the 6 o'clock one in those days. It used to be afternoon.
And what about was there an RSL in Ostenra?
Yes, there was. It was opposite the post office. It was just a very old building. I didn't know too much about it except that Mr. Cook was involved with it.
Mr. Cook, the postmaster.
Yeah, he was very involved. But that was eventually demolished and a big building took its place, which lasted for many years, and then it folded up and the Anglican Church bought that property. And there's still the Anglican Church. They sold their original one for a dwelling.
They sold the original Anglican Church. Oh. So the RSL would be a hub for people.
Yes.
For the men.
Yes.
In Ostenra. Was that quite a big RSL club?
I think it was, yes.
And that sometimes the other hub is the bowling club. Is there a bowling club in Austin?
No longer.
Oh, but there was.
Yes, there was.
And where was that?
That was on the northern side and very popular. Went for many years, but like so many other places, it folded up.
The northern side
of
Austin. So yeah. Not in the Moore Street Hub.
It was in bordered by Allen Street and Toxteth Avenue.
So that Ostomer Street is a street where there were, when you drive down there now, it's got quite big homes in it. Were those homes holiday homes?
No, I don't think so. I think they were permanent residences.
And were they people who were important to Ostomer that you know? Or they were just kept to themselves?
Oh, no, I think most of them were in some way involved. There was one quite big house, old, which was owned by the Woodhills, and the Woodhills were a company. What are they? I'm not too sure what that.
So it was a business.
Yes. I'm trying to think what the Woodhills actually did. There are still Woodhills here, but not in that location.
And that house was near the railway line.
Yes, the last house in
Ostomer Street. Is that Ostomer Street?
Mm.
Oh, okay. And then on the other big home that's still there was on the other end of that street.
Yes.
And what's the story?
It's a bed and breakfast now.
And yeah. What was it?
I think it was owned by a people named Price, who ran one of the bus companies.
Oh.
Price's bus was another one that came. Yes.
Hmm. And there are some quite distinctive streets in Ostomer. The other one that when you talk to people about Ostomer, they say, oh, the Grove, we remember the Grove. And do you know anything about the house in the Grove that was owned by the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
So tell us about, do you know very much about that?
I don't know very much about it. I have met some of the sisters on occasions. But no, I don't really know anything about it.
But the sisters,
they no longer have that.
No, but they came to Ostomer as part of that retreat and the holiday, healthy living.
I often saw them walking to Thoreau.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And what do you think has been the biggest change in Ostomer since you came here?
I think the biggest change really is when the supermarket started at Thoreau. I mean, it shifted the shopping. And maybe the shops kept going for a little while, but it was quite obvious that it wasn't going to last.
So that meant that that Ostomer became a place where people lived.
Yeah.
A place where people lived rather than worked.
Yes.
I'm just going to stop the tape.